in the Lord. Our confidence in what we have to do in our lives and what we want to do for our lives should come from Jesus Christ. This morning we want to turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1, and the title of the message is The Hope of Change. The Hope of Change. 2019 is a brand new year beginning, and a lot of people make resolutions and a lot of people make decisions. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. They decide they're going to go on a diet. They decide they're going to read their Bible more. They decide they're going to pray more. They decide they're going to stop beating their kids. And they decide all these things that they're going to start doing or stop doing. How many of you made a resolution this year? Oh my goodness. All right, how many of you resolved not to make resolutions? All right, several people did that, okay? All right, well, we decide, you know what? Hey, I'm going to start doing things differently. Why is it that the turn of the year seems to make a lot of those things take place? Does it make us realize and understand that maybe in the past we've not done as well as we could have done? Do we look back over the year and say, you know what, hey, this area of my life was this way, and this area of my life was this way, and I recognize that I've done wrong, and I want to do better? Why is it January 1st forces us to do that? Why is that? And I began to think about that and analyze that question. And really what my question for myself ought to be is this. Why should it take January the 1st to make me realize that? Why can't it be every single morning that I wake up and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be? Why can't we wake up every single day and say, okay, God, yesterday's gone. Nothing I can do about that. Today is the day that you have made. I want to be the child of God that you have called me to be. A lot of people will sit here and say, well, Brother Brian, I know that I want to do different. I know that I want to do this, and I know that I don't want to do that, and I want to be changed. I want to do something different, but I'm afraid that if I do that, it's just going to fail after a week or two or a month or a couple months, and then I'm going to go back to doing what I used to do. Well, let me tell you this morning, if you decide that you want to do things differently, and you do it in your strength, you are going to fail. Your diet may work for a couple weeks. Your diet may go on for a couple months. And you're doing the best you can. But if you're trusting your ability to make it through, you're going to fail. If you decide, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going to church like I need to. And you're doing it for your honor and for your benefit. Guess what? It's going to eventually fall off. I want you this morning, and I want myself this morning to do this. God, I want to be different 2019, but I want to be different in your power and your strength, and I want to be different to what you want me to be, not what I want to be. A lot of things in life drain us, and we don't realize what they are. There's a lot of things going on in our lives that we're not understanding why we're losing the strength and the hope. It reminds me of the story of the fellow who owned a brand new store. And he was inside the store and everything was fixed up the way it was. He had refurbished the building. It had been old and there for years and years, and he refurbished the building. And so he began to look at his utility costs, the water and the electricity and all the things that were taking place. And he was watching the electricity costs, and he saw that he had all the new furnishings and all the eco-friendly things, but his utility bill was just running high, and he could not figure out what in the world it was going. And so he analyzed everything. He said, tomorrow when I get there, I'm going to try making some changes. I'm going to unplug several different machines and see what is going on. So he went in that Monday morning. He unplugged everything. And he went out and he checked his meter, and the meter was just spinning. And he couldn't figure out what was going on. Something was draining the electricity. And so he began to dig further, and he got behind the walls, and he saw behind one of the walls, he saw six plug-ins into his outlets. And he didn't understand it because he had done the refurbishing himself, but he never found it. But behind one of the walls, there were six things plugged in. And so he began to trace those, and he found that on the outside of his wall between the old building and the new building were six neon lights that had been burning for 25 years and an average cost of $17,000 of electrical costs have been going for 25 years. So needless to say, he unplugged every single one of them, and his electricity bill went down like this when he finally found what was causing the problem. This morning, some of you may have neon signs plugged in, and you may not understand and realize why your spiritual life is draining or where your life at home is draining, and you may not understand it. Well, this morning I pray that we'll all look to God and say, God, help me to detect those neon signs. Help me to detect those electrical drains that are taking place, those spiritual drains that are happening in my lives this morning. Help me, God, to recognize them and to change them and to be what you have called me to be. 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter is speaking and addressing this to believers. He says in verse number 13, he says this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fastening yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you once again for your presence. We thank you, God, that we are here and we've had the opportunity to worship you through singing. We've had the opportunity to worship you by giving, by fellowshipping. We've had the opportunity to worship you through prayer and ask you now, Lord, we worship you through your word. I'm asking you, Father, to change me. Help me to understand the areas of my life that I need to be what you want me to be. But help me make the changes based upon you and your strength and your desires, not what somebody else says. Lord, we desperately need your guidance. We desperately need your wisdom. We desperately need your influence in our lives. So now use me as a vessel to give your word, but more importantly, may you do the work that needs to be done. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. Number one, where does the hope of change come from? Number one, it starts in our minds. The hope of change has got to start in our minds. Look what it says in verse 13. He says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now you say, what in the world does that mean to gird up the loins of your mind? Have you ever tried to fight a battle in a bathrobe? Anybody ever tried to fight a battle in a bathrobe? All right? Imagine a bathrobe and you're trying to fight a battle by swinging, and every time you swing, that bathrobe just pops right open like that. It's no fun whatsoever. Trying to chase a spider or a kid or a rat or something like that, the bathrobe just flies open and you're constantly worried about the bathrobe. Girding up means you take the bathrobe and you tie it up to where it doesn't go free anymore. Then you're free to fight the battle. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go ahead and do that at home, because I'd love to see a video of you girding up the bathrobe and fighting the battle. But what it's meaning is get the loose things of your life tied up. Get the loose things of your mind tied up. How many of you find that when you start to pray, 100,000 things pop in your mind when you start to pray? You're reminded of, did I turn the water off? That thing in the car that's making that rattle, that's bothering me. Oh my goodness, I forgot to do that homework assignment. And you're starting to pray, and it's like everything is bombarding you. What you want to do is when you begin, okay, God, I want to be different. I want to be changed. What you want to do is say, okay, God, I need to realize and understand my thinking needs to change. My thinking needs to change. Matter of fact, look at it says. It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Guard what you allow to come in. Guard what you allow to come in. All right? Now, this morning, I walk over here. My wife and I don't hardly talk each other in the mornings, on Sunday mornings, because I come over here early and she's over there getting the kids ready, everything else. But how many of you married couples have had an animated discussion before you got to church on Sunday mornings? How many of you have been like that at times? Oh, come on now. Okay. All right. Talk. An animated discussion. A disagreement about something. All right. And you pull into the parking lot and you've just rah, 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 and you pull in and all of a sudden everything smiles. And you just got through threatening to take your kid and throw him out the door, okay? You know what I'm saying? But you get here and you've been doing something and you get into the parking lot and it takes 25, 30 minutes to get your mind refocused on worshiping God. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden one of those sappy love songs comes on from the 1980s. And it takes you back to when you wore the spandex and all the hair bands and everything else. And it takes you back to what you used to be. The music you're listening to takes you to a place you really don't want to go. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand that what we allow to come into our minds influences how we think. If you want to stay away from the things that are worldly, you want to stay away from the things that are going to cause you to do wrong things, then get away from them. Don't let them come into your life. You got a problem with drinking? Don't go to a bar. You got a problem with cheating on your spouse? Don't listen to cheating songs. Amen? You got a problem with cigarettes? Stay away from cigarette machines and people that sell them. What happens, though, is that we say, okay, I want to change. And it starts with my mind, but I've got to start filling my mind with the right kind of things. I've got to allow the right things coming into my life. Not the negative things, the things that are going to destroy me. If I have a problem with people who gossip, then guess what? I need to stay away from people who gossip. If I got a problem with people who are going to try to drag me down and telling filthy jokes and doing nasty things, guess what? I need to stay away from those people if I want to be different. Because it says, gird up the loins of your mind. All right, number two, trust God's grace to help you. Look what it says, gird up the loins of your mind, change what you allow to come in. But number two, it says, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Guess what? God will give you the grace. You say, well, Brother Brian, all my friends talk that way. All my friends do that. And if I drop them and I stop hanging around them, what am I going to do? I'm not going to have any friends left. Well, guess what you do? You ask God. God, I want to be different. God, I'm tired of my friends bringing me down. I'm tired of my friends influencing me wrong. But I need some good friends. You say, God, give me some good friends. He'll give you some good friends. God, I don't want to stop going to this place. I don't want to stop going to that place because that's where I feel comfortable. Well, guess what? Ask God to help you. He'll give you the grace. He'll give you the wisdom if you really want it. How many of you agree? If you're on a diet, you shouldn't go to a donut shop. That makes perfect sense. God, help me stay away from Krispy Kreme. And you say, Grandpa Brian, that's kind of silly. No, it's not, because it's obvious. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to be so stinking stubborn that you're going to say, you know what, Brother Brian, I'm not going to listen to what you got to say. You don't know what it is. Yes, I do know. If I want to be different, I've got to make choices to not allow things to come into my life. They're going to make me do wrong. All right, look at the third thing. It says, truth is revealed through God's word. It says, to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God wants for you? Read His word. What a great way the new year as it starts to start reading God's word. What an opportunity to understand and know what God wants you to do. All right, parents, how many of you leave notes for your kids to tell them what to do? How many of you do that? A few of you do. How many of you have given up because they don't want rated it anyway? All right? A few of you do. You leave them a note, and then you come home and nothing's done. You say, didn't you read the note? And they say, no, you got to text me. All right? So start sending them texts. If you really want to know what God wants you to do, you really want to know what God has for you, start reading what He has for you. Let me give you some help here. You say, Brother Brian, I want to start reading God's word every day. All right, there are 31 Proverbs. Okay? Today is January the 6th. So if you want to start a daily Bible reading plan, read a proverb a day. So you go home and read Proverbs chapter 6, Tomorrow morning you wake up and you read Proverbs chapter what? Seven. Hey, very good. All right. All right, Tuesday morning you wake up and you read Proverbs chapter. There you go. You caught on to it. And you go, now we say, well, wait a minute, Brother Brian, when you get to February, there's only 28 days. So that means you don't read 28 Proverbs? Yeah, you don't read 28 Proverbs. And then you start over day number one. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm going to get tired of that. No, God's Word is a living Word. It changes every single time you read it. And if you'll go and read a proverb a day, it'll be amazing what God will do. He'll start taking you on these rabbit trails. And you'll come across a verse and all of a sudden you say, wait a minute, I never saw that before. And he'll start leading you to another part of Scripture. And then pretty soon, guess what? You've forgotten television. You've forgotten video games. Pretty soon, you're reading God's Word. And you look up, half an hour's gone by, you've been studying God's Word. How many of you would love that to happen in your life? It won't start until you start reading His Word. I promise you, money-back guarantee, you read God's Word, you will change. But also, you say, Brother Brian, I want to change. I want to be what God wants me to be. If you don't read God's Word, you're not going to change that way. Pretty simple. Pretty simple, okay? All right, so number one, it starts in our minds. Number two, look at verse 14 with me. Number two, it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance. Number two, leave the past and its failure behind. Leave the past and its failures behind. I may be the only one in this room this morning, but I want to leave my past failures of 2018 behind. How many of you are like that this morning? And I determined to do that, and I wake up, and guess who reminds me? Satan reminds me every single day about my past failures. You remember back in 1983 when you wore those parachute pants, and he reminds me of my failures, and he brings up all the bad things, and guess what? I can do nothing to change what's happened in my past. Not a single stinking thing. All I can do is determine today to live for Jesus Christ. That's all I can do. I can't change what took place, but I can change what takes place today. Some of us are so caught up in what used to be. We're so caught up in the mistakes of the past that we cannot understand that God wants to use us today in spite of what happened yesterday. You've got to forgive yourself. You've got to get over it. So it says, leave the past and its failure behind. Number one, realize who our Father is. Look what it says, as obedient children. He is speaking to Christians. You are a child of God when you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You belong to God. You are joint heirs with Jesus. You belong to the Creator of the universe. You are God's child. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. Okay? You say, wait, well, that doesn't make sense. I've always heard, Brother Brian, that everybody's God's child. That is wrong. Only those who have placed their faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are God's children. And therefore, if you are God's child, you have the ability to live for God and to change and to be what He wants you to be. But how many of us, don't raise your hand, are too stinking stubborn to do it God's way? I hear what you're saying, Brother Brian, and I read what you're saying, but I'm still going to do it my way. Well, let me ask you a question. How's that working for you? How's that working for you today? I'd rather do it God's way. It says, so realize that who your Father is. Number two, don't allow yourself to be molded by the world system. Because it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Don't allow MTV and Instagram and all these nasty things out there to form you into the way the world wants you to think. The Golden Globes, are on tonight. Guess what? I'm not going to watch it. I have no desire about who wins this award for that. I don't give a flip. It doesn't matter to me. They don't influence my life whatsoever. I don't want my world to be dictated based upon what the media tells me to do. But what happens is some people are so driven by the latest fashions and the latest music and the latest this, the latest that, that it forms them and their opinions. The world's opinions really do not matter to me. And if I allow them to shape my thinking, then I'll stand for abortion and I'll stand for same-sex marriage and I'll stand for living together before you get married and I'll stand for beating this and killing that and spending this and spending that. If I let the world shape my thinking, and there's too much of that going on, even in the household of God. Brothers and sisters, stop letting society form your opinions. We'll say, Brother Brian, I don't know where to stand. It's clear right here. Matter of fact, go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Let me show you something here. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. You say, Brother Brian, I can't help it. All my friends listen to that music, and all my friends go and do that, and all my co-workers, and that's all they do, Brother Brian, and that's, I just can't help it anymore. Well, let me show you something. Here, Ephesians chapter number 2. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's writing to believers, okay? You have to understand, these are words that are given to believers. And when you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you have God Himself living inside of you. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Look what Ephesians chapter number 2 says. And you, believers, and you hath He quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Underline that phrase, were dead. You're no longer dead in your trespasses and sins. You're no longer condemned to hell. You now have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse number 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, how society dictated, that's how you lived. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. See, we saw in 1 Peter that the children of obedience belong to God, but the children of disobedience belong to Satan. So let me ask you a question this morning. In modern vernacular, who's your daddy? Who are you a child of? Who do you belong to? You belong to God, then you are a child of obedience, obeying Jesus Christ. If you don't belong to God, you're a child of disobedience. And you have to walk according to what the world says. You want to live for God? Then stop listening to the world. You want to change and start walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? Then walk according to what He tells us to do. You say, well, Brother Brian, I have a hard time doing that. Well, let me ask you a question. Who's living in you? Who is it that's dictating how you live? Who is it that's guiding you and directing you? If you're sick of living in the pig pen, get out! If you're sick of eating the garbage of the world, close your mouth! If you're sick of being influenced by the filth, get away from it! You're a child of God. You're no longer part of the world. Because here's what it says. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You walked according to the prince of the power of the air, who we know is Satan. And you are the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You had no choice because that's who you belong to. I identify myself as a Schuler. S-C-H-U-L-E-R. I spelt the right way. And when I identify myself, I give my first and my last name, Schuler. And so people naturally assume that I belong to the S-H-U-L-E-Rs. And that's okay. I have no shame in that. I'm just trying to teach them to spell right. But I identify myself as a Schuler. And so instantly people make a recognition of that name, Schuler. But if I want to be different, then I would change my name to something else. My mother's maiden name was Payne. Brian Payne. Well, some of you say, yes, that's what you are, Brother Brian. If I want to identify as something different, I've got to change my name. Brothers and sisters, you want to be different? You want to change? Then change what you're known by. Right now, if people outside of this building were talking about you, what are they talking about you about? What is going on? What are you known for? What is your reputation? I tell my kids all the time, the number one thing is you have God and you've got family and you've got your reputation of what people, your testimony of what people know about you. I want my reputation, my testimony, to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Now look at verse number 4 right here. It says, but God, he says, this is what your former life is, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, even though you had no hope, we are quickened together with Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, you are now a living creature for eternity. You no longer have to live in your sins. So don't use the excuse, Brother Brian, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. If you belong to God, you have the power of God living in you to make the right choices. But my question is, why do you still keep making the wrong choices then? Are you saying God's not powerful enough? Are you saying God can't do it? If your God can't change you, and your God can't make you what He wants you to be, then He ain't a God worth serving. Amen. Amen. All right, so go back to 1 Peter now. Number one, it starts in our mind. Number two, we have to realize we have to leave the past behind. 1 Peter, verse number 15. But as He which has called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Number three, determined to become what God wants. Determined to become what God wants. It starts in your mind saying, God, I want to do things different. It starts and says, understanding God, this is what your word says, this is what I want to do. Number two, leave the past behind. Forget about those things. Stop living that way. Start living in the new. And then number three, determine to become what God wants. Hold your fingers here and go to Jeremiah 18 with me real quick. Jeremiah 18. I love this illustration that God uses with Jeremiah. It's in the Old Testament. Find Isaiah and go write one book. Jeremiah chapter number 18. I want to show you something here. Israel had really messed up, and we know the story of Israel and how they had would walk with God and then they would get away from God and God would judge them and bring condemnation and do what needs to be done, and they'd call back to God. God would forgive them and restore them, and then they would, like a big gigantic cycle. Every time they would do right, they would do wrong, and they would do right and they would do wrong. And God had mercy, and God will continue to have mercy on Israel and continue to have mercy on us. But he gives a message to Jeremiah and says, this is what I want you to tell the people. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, and this is what God told him. This is what I want you, this is what I'm telling you, Jeremiah. Number 2, verse 2. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You go down to the potter's house, Jeremiah, I'm going to give you what I want you to understand. Jeremiah says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. So they had the big old-fashioned wheels and using the foot pedal, and it would make that pot, that wheel spin. And on that big old wheel is a lump of clay. Verse number 4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. So evidently the potter was what had his foot going and that wheel was spinning. How many of you have seen pottery being made like that? Okay, he's spinning it and spinning. He's got the clay in there and the potter was forming it. And then he found that there was something wrong with the clay. And so what did the potter do? He picked up the clay and he threw it away. And that's not what he did. What does it say? It says he reformed it. He picked it up and he made it into what seemed good to the potter. Verse number 5. Then God's word came to Jeremiah while he was watching this take place. The word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. He says, Jeremiah, tell the people, even though the clay have been marred, and even though it's worth throwing out, the potter's not done with it yet. Brothers and sisters, do we deserve to be thrown out? Yes, we do. I deserve to be cast away. I deserve to lose everything I've got. I deserve to be forgotten. I deserve to be a black spot on the ground because of my sins and my iniquities and my trespasses. I deserve that. But I thank God the potter's not done with me yet. You see, Brother Brian, I've tried and I've tried to do better, and I've tried and I've tried, and I've turned over new leaves, and I've made resolutions, and I've kept journals, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and it just has not worked. And I feel like a big old lumpy mound of clay that's just sitting there and of no use. Brothers and sisters, if you belong to God, He's still got that wheel working. He's still got His hands on that clay, and He's still molding it into what it needs to be. Stop fighting the potter. Now, all the times that I've seen the potter working on mugs and bowls, I've never once seen the clay speak to the potter and say, "Get your hands off me." Never once. Why? Because the potter owns the clay. How about you stop opening your mouth and yelling at the potter and telling him, get your hands off me? How about you just simply say, please make me what you want me to be? That potter kept on working that clay until he was done with it. Guess what? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. The work that God has started will not be done until the revelation of Jesus Christ. I am looking at a bunch of lumps of clay that God's still working on. Do you want to be what God wants you to be? Go back to 1 Peter real quick. This is how you do it. Three ways. This is how you do it. How to determine become what God wants you to be. Number one, beg God to mold you as He desires. Beg God to mold you as He desires. Number two, choose who you will allow to speak into your life. Be careful who speaks into your life. Be careful who molds your life. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 to 6 tells us, be careful who teaches you and shows you. Number 3, resolve to change with God's power. Brother Brian, I want to be different this year. I want to be what God wants me to be. Then do it God's way. How many of you like to get on Pinterest or you like to get on these recipe things you see on Facebook all the time? How many of you like to try those recipes out? How many of you have no clue what I'm talking about? All right. Your grandma's recipe book. Your mama's recipe book. And you look there and say, wow, I love that pudding. I love that banana pudding. And I love that way banana pudding tastes and everything else. And so I've got my grandma's recipe. And I'm going to follow that recipe. And you get to the point where it's got some ingredient in it that you say, I don't like that ingredient. That ingredient just doesn't taste good to me. So I'm not going to put it in there. How many of you expect that recipe to turn out the right way? It ain't going to. Because you didn't follow the recipe. You want to be what God wants you to be? Follow the recipe. Can I read Psalm 1 to you again real quick this morning? Can I do that? I'm going to do it anyway. Go to Psalm 1 with me real quick. Let me show you, then we'll be done. Psalm number 1. Just to show you that I didn't make this up. Psalm number 1. Very easy to find. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Instead, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Who's going to influence in you this year? I want to be planted by the rivers of living water. I don't want to be like the chaff that's driven away. I want God's way. I want to do what God wants me to do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You can change. You can be different. You can become what God wants you to be, but you got to do it God's way in God's strength. That's it. Some of you, all of us, really, need to confess this morning to God. Every single one of us. Every single one of us need to say, oh God, forgive me for being so stinking prideful and stubborn and doing it my way. God, please forgive me. I'm sick of it. I want to start doing it your way. That can be the prayer of every single one of us this morning. But here's my question. Are you willing to pray that? Let me ask you again. How's it going for you? How's it working? Aren't you tired of living your way? Aren't you tired of failing and failing and failing? Why don't you do it God's way? Let Him work. Drop your stinking pride. It stinks. Whew. Become a sweet savor. Obey God. Honor Him today. Heavenly Father, You know what's going on in our lives. Lord, I don't stand before this congregation as a perfect person. I'll never be perfect till I get to heaven, but God, I want to be a man after your own heart. I want to be a man that brings you honor and glory. I want to be the husband and the father that you want me to be. I want to be the pastor that you want me to be. But Father, the change must come from you. The change must come in your power. The change must come according to what you want. So Father, right now, I want to do that. I confess that in front of this body of believers. And I pray that will be people in this very room that will do the same thing today. Lay aside our pride. Lay aside our desires. Lay aside our efforts. And instead, humbly come to you, ask you to forgive us, repent of our sins, and turn back to you in all things. In Christ's precious name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to invite you to start the new year out by coming down here. Just come on down, bring you and your spouse, your family, come by yourself. But by heavens, stop doing it your way and start doing it God's way. I invite you to come right now to step on out. Start the new year this way. Just come on out. Make an altar where you're sitting if you want to. But it's something about coming down forward to the invitation time. You want me to pray with you? I'll pray with you. But by all means, come. Come. Ask God to help you be what He wants you to be. In Christ's name.